Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
How's it going, everybody? You like my new rap I made? Yep, that's mine. Just a little free time this week. Thought I'd drop a rhyme. Welcome to Center Church. Glad that you could be here with us on race day. How many of you guys are glad it was the Rock and Roll Marathon? No. Okay, nobody. If you only catch us on the podcast and you never actually cruise to this location, or only very rarely, you may not know that this is like, you know, a few times a year, downtown San Diegans just like to chase one another around the city. And this is one of those days. So congratulations on making it to church today. In fact, on my way in, they had the 163 northbound shut down, and just the very beginnings of the lead runners were coming across the 26-mile mark. And I thought to myself, just 26 miles of wishing you had stayed in bed on Sunday morning. Like these guys and gals that get out there and do that, you know, more power to you. But you made it. Congratulations. You braved all the road closures, maybe a traffic delay or two. The parking was a little crazy this morning, I know. And this is all just part of our strategy of growth as a church, to see who is strongest and fittest and able to actually make it to church. And if you can figure it out, then you can come. And that's kind of our growth strategy. So you are among the strongest. So thanks for coming. But we're kicking off brand new series today here on race day. It's kind of not so coincidentally called Chasing the Carrot. And I really believe that this series has the potential to dramatically impact your life if you'll avail yourself of it. Because we're going to be talking about the never-ending pursuit of more and more and more. And this is one of those deals, I'm guessing that many of you are like me, and you believe an everyday lie. And you may not even realize that you're believing it when you're doing it, but it's the lie that says, if I can just get that, or a little bit more of that, then I'll be happy. Now, the that will vary from person to person. Okay, I don't know what your that is. Your that may look differently than my that. But if you've ever caught yourself thinking to yourself, even at a really subtle level, if I could just get myself a little bit more of that, then it would be good. You ever caught yourself thinking that? And the reason that that's a lie is because inevitably, whenever and if ever you're able to accomplish that or build up a little bit more of that, the reason that it's a lie is that what you find is that it doesn't actually deliver on all that it promises, okay? It doesn't necessarily show up with more happy. It doesn't necessarily deliver more fulfillment or more joy. And we have maybe heard people say that to us, like, well, it's not going to deliver happiness. We've heard people say that. But kind of deep down inside, we're like, yeah, because you're a sucker. And you're not going to do it as good as me. But I'm the person that's going to actually make it this time. This is going to be the one person that rule does not apply to. I will be the person that is happier if I can get more of that. All the rest of you guys, you're suckers. But I'm going to make it work for me this time. Now, I'm believing here today that there's more than a few of us in here today that buy into this kind of lie. And so there's this race, this pursuit of more and more. But in this rat race, what it is always chasing the carrot and very rarely actually eating the carrot. That's why it's on a string. That's why it's always just out in front of you just enough. They're like, well, just keep on pining after it. Just keep going. It's the constant chase of the carrot. And we buy into this lie all the time. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be tackling some pretty major themes in this pursuit in our lives. And I think it's going to be deeply practical for you. We're going to talk about the pursuit of more and more money and stuff. what that does to us. We're going to talk about the elusive pursuit of perfection and getting it just all set. If I can just get it all lined out just right, then it'll be better. Or we're going to talk about our need for approval. We're going to talk about how much we obsess an awful lot about what other people think. And then in the final week, we're going to talk about comfort and how much of our life we pursue just making it easier. I just want it to be more comfortable. Sound like any of those topics sounds like day-to-day issues for you? Because I feel like as I looked at them and I sort of plotted them out in prepping for this series, I'm like, I pretty much need to be here taking notes every single week on myself. Okay? So this is, we're all in this thing together. We're going to be chasing the carrot, talking about that over the next few weeks. But today we're going to talk about a topic that may be more relevant today than in any other point in human history, to be really honest with you. We're going to be talking about fame and glory. Fame and glory. I want to be known. I want to be liked. I want to be followed. Do you notice that nowadays, that like, who do you follow? Oh, I follow them. Oh, I like that. Oh, I subscribe to that. I'm constantly inundated with this, and so are you, is this desire that's just kind of out there culturally that we want to be admired. I want to see my name up in lights. I want to be insta-famous. I want to go viral. I want what I say to go viral. I want everybody to look and be like, hey, there he goes. He's viral. At any other point in human history, if you said, hey, look, that dude's viral, you tend to stay away from that person, right? They're viral. But in this, I want to be famous is this elusive dream that is a part. It's part of the fabric of our culture nowadays. Okay, I want fame and glory. Now, right off the bat, some of you are going to think to yourself, "Well, I'm off the hook on this first one because I don't have any desire to be famous. This one doesn't pertain to me. I that's not my deal." To which I really only want to say, that's solely not true. You have lied to yourself because we all chase dreams like this dream of fame and this dream of, I want my name up in lights in different ways. Not all of us are Justin Bieber, okay? You may not have a Lady Gaga thing going on in your life right now, but we have, I think, all of us, what one author that I read this past week called micro cravings for fame. Micro cravings. Okay? They're not the big macro cravings that you might think of when you think rock star or politician or famous person that's like in your mind that's on the cover of Us magazine. We have micro cravings for fame because we want to be known. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. You may have no desire to go on American Idol. That's fine. Me neither. But you probably do have micro cravings. And a micro craving for fame shows up when you overcommit to something in your life and you did it because you hate letting other people down. That's a micro craving for fame. Or you need to be liked so much that you go to extraordinary lengths. You bend over backwards because you want everybody else to think you're great. And so you find yourself saying yes to things or overcommitting to stuff because you don't want to be thought poorly of. Ever attended a party, not because you wanted to go, but because somebody was going to be like thinking you were like really letting down the family if you didn't arrive? Ever done something at work or with a group of friends, and it wasn't coming out of like a place of love. You did it out of an obligation, and you really still wanted everybody to think that you're great. That's a micro craving. Am I getting in anybody's business yet today? Okay, that's a micro craving. Perhaps for you, a micro craving is receiving credit for the things that you do. Okay, your contribution at work, and you want everybody to know that you're the one that did the project. You don't want to sign the report anonymously. You would like your credit line in there so that everybody knows, hey, I really delivered on this one. You want to be acknowledged for what you did. You want everybody to know how great you are. It's not Lady Gaga-ish. It's a micro craving for fame. For some of you, it's about being overly sensitive to criticism. You can have 10 people tell you you were fantastic, but that one guy that criticizes you or had something to say that wasn't like really like, wow, flowers and you're like really awesome, and you're completely overwhelmed by it. Does that happen to anybody? You could be told all day long that you're great. And then you get on the freeway with your window down and the person's like, you're a terrible driver. You suck. Get off the street. And the rest of the way home, you're like, oh man, I totally should have said that to that guy. Right? We want everybody to think we're great. And that's part of the reason why this chase is so elusive, is we're constantly chasing the carrot, but we're never actually eating them. And in today's social media world, we live in this environment where everybody's got an opinion now. Do you know that? And not only does everybody have an opinion, everybody's got a microphone. Everybody is broadcasting their opinion, and the studies are just study after study after study show that reality isn't helping people discover joy. It's actually discouraging people all over the place. That this rampant, constant chase for the like or the follow or the subscribe or the me, come on, please like me, is actually resulting in a dramatic drop in joy in our lives. Turns out that the endless pursuit of more and more doesn't actually produce it. And so what I have found is that this pursuit of fame, this pursuit of more glory, even if it's at a micro level, it actually is destructive to us in most cases. And the reason for this is found in our theme passage for today. It's found in Psalm 115, verse 1. The psalmist writes, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Not to us, Lord, but to your name goes all the glory. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write down this truth. I was not made for glory. It is meant for God. I was not even made for glory. It was meant for God. Put another way, we can't handle glory. It's not for us. Glory is already and always meant for God. Write down this next one. Glory honors God. It destroys me. Glory honors God. It destroys me. And social media is this rampant ground, this breeding ground for this pursuit of fame. Okay? Now, before you go getting the wrong idea, like I'm just kind of down on social media, that you're getting the cranky old man, back in my day, we didn't have social media talk. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? Cards on the table. Center Church has a Facebook account. We have an Instagram account. You know, I am followed by like 114 people. It's great. Okay? I'm crushing it, right? My social media. I'm not saying that it's all bad. It's not all bad. And in fact, many of you guys got connected around here because you got connected because of social media. I'm great with it. Okay? That's totally awesome. But what I am here to tell you is that glory honors God, but it destroys me. It destroys you. And this social media world that we live in produces people who live for the like, yet they're longing to be loved. Isn't that an ironic distance? We live for the like, and it doesn't even really matter how many likes you get, and still sit there, still longing to be loved. It's because I was not made for glory. It was meant for God. That glory honors him, but it actually destroys me. And so, even if you're still sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, I heard what you said. Nope, still not touched by it. Still not my deal. I'm a completely above all this fame and glory stuff in our culture. I'm impervious to its lies. I'm still rocking my CompuServe email address. I take all my news you know, by the telegraph right before I get on my stagecoach to drive to work. That's still happening. You know, you're above it all. That's fine. I do want to let you know that somebody very nearby you struggles with this in a very big way. I actually think you're not being honest with yourself, but even if you think that, I want you to know somebody around you, very close to you, is struggling with this. I did some research as I was prepping for this topic, and I came across a recent survey of 10 to 12-year-old kids. And it shows some absolutely stunning results. I have a son who is in this window, 10 to 12. Stunning results. Let me tell you first what they don't care about. Our kids, 10 to 12, don't care about financial security. Could care less. Don't even think about it. They don't want to be rich. They don't care about achievement. They don't care about climbing some ladder somewhere. They're not even all that concerned about community or good relationships, close connections. Don't care anything about that. Did you know that the top goal for kids age 10 to 12 is to be famous? That's the number one goal of kids between the ages of 10 and 12, is to be famous. You know why that's their, well, you know why that's their number one goal? Because that's exactly what we have taught them to aspire to. Go be famous. Be broadly known. I want to be accepted. I want to be respected. Number one goal. I found another one, and this one's awesome. This one pertains to adults who are between the ages of 22 and 37. 22 and 37. Can you raise your hand real quick if you're in that window of time? 22 to 37. Very, very good. Okay. Right on. Very, very good. Some of you just had a micro craving to be 22 again. That just happened. Okay, but here's what this survey, I kid you not, this is what this survey showed. Adults between the ages of 22 and 37, 50% of you believe that your life should be made into a movie. 50% of you really believe deep down inside that your life should be made into a movie. You know who's laughing? The other 50% that think you're weird. That's who's laughing right now, because we don't want to come to your movie. We're going to, you know, we're going to the new Avengers movie. That's what we're doing. Your movie stinks. But that's what we, like, actually deeply believe. What would people do to become a household name is one of the topics that got surveyed. The survey results are probably going to blow your mind. What would you do just to be a household name? Turns out that 1 in 12 people would disown their families to become a household name. 1 in 12. 1 in 9 would give up their marriage to be a household name. 1 in 6 would give up their kids to be a household name. And that number goes up depending on whose kids they're around at the time. Okay? Those are important things. You give up your family? You would disown your family. You would give up your marriage. You would take a pass on having kids. Just to be a household name? We give up on a lot of things that we think are pretty important. Now, let me say, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with being famous. Hey, being famous doesn't make you a bad person. In particular, if you're uniquely gifted in a particular area, you're really good at throwing a baseball, or you're, you know, invented something, or you do something that made a particular difference in some way, maybe if you're the best at something. Nowadays, fame is sometimes almost inevitable. It's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, God sometimes makes people famous. Did you know that? In 1 Chronicles 14, he did something within the life of David, who was a man after God's own heart. It says, so David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army. David was a mighty warrior, and he struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. He struck down the Gezers, which is, you know, I don't blame him. But verse 17, it says this, so David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made the nations fear him. God made David famous on purpose. He did the same thing with Solomon. You know the story of Solomon? God came to him and said, basically kind of that genie in a bottle request. Ask me anything, I'll give it to you. And Solomon's response to God was, I want wisdom. Would you give me wisdom? And God was so impressed by this request. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame and glory. He asked for wisdom. God was so impressed. He's like, I will give you wisdom, and I'm throwing in fame and glory and riches like as a bonus, because that's like so amazing. But he made him famous. You could argue that Jesus was famous. Jesus had crowds that would swarm around him as he healed the sick. He would perform miracles. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being famous. Here's what's dangerous. It's the desire for fame. Being famous isn't intrinsic, nothing wrong with it in particular, but it's this desire. It's the chasing of the carrot that's dangerous. And that's because what happens is it takes your heart's pursuit away from God, and it makes yourself your heart's pursuit. That's why the psalmist said, not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. And it's fascinating to me how this struggle or this chase for fame has changed in recent years. Do you notice that people are just popping up all over the place, getting famous for doing virtually nothing nowadays? Do you notice that? People getting famous for nothing. YouTube cranks these people out. I am very rarely ever brought to a place of more absolute inane madness than watching my kids watch YouTube sometimes. And I know that probably makes me a grumpy old guy, but seriously? Have you guys watched this stuff? No, you're all old like me. You need to go find an 8-year-old and figure out what they're watching, you guys, because there's some crazy stuff going on. People getting famous by showing videos of themselves jumping on a trampoline. Okay? This is happening. The USA Today reported the top income earner on YouTube in 2018. Do you know who it is? It's this guy. Top income earner. He's 7 years old and he made $22 million. Do you know how he did it? By putting a video of him playing with his toys on YouTube. Top income earner. He's 7. Stay in school, kids. Right? Amazing. His name's Ryan, made $22 million. Did you hear about Alex from Target? This happened fairly recently. Alex is just this normal young guy. He's a checker at Target. Normal dude, wearing a red shirt, scanning people's pork and beans. Boop, boop. Like that's all he was doing, having a normal day at work. Alex started his day at work in the checker line at Target with 144 Twitter followers. Okay? He's like me, 120, 144, okay? And then this young lady was in line with Alex, thought Alex was a little bit of a dreamboat, took a picture of Alex and posted it, and this is a picture that she took of Alex at Target, normal kid, right? This photo went absolutely viral. At the beginning of the day, he had 144 Twitter followers. By the end of the day, he had 300,000 Twitter followers. And the next day, he was on CNN. What is happening? What is happening? I just have to say that. It's crazy. But you know what? This is why people are chasing the carrot. Because it could happen. I'm telling you, you need to keep your eye on CNN. Because I look good in the Target line on a regular basis. Okay? It could happen to me. And it's the chase. It's the pursuit. It might happen. Fame is dangerous. And remember what I said earlier? That glory honors God, but it destroys me. All that insta-famous, that was too much for Alex at Target. Alex at Target got all insta-famous. You know what else came with that? People who started criticizing him for his red shirt, didn't like the way that he parted his hair, thought this, thought that, inundated by opinion, to the point that Alex shut down all his social media accounts. He just, I want nothing to do with it. I'm out. Fame can be traumatic. To be honest with you, I say good on Alex. But fame can be traumatic. How many other cultural examples could you think of right now? Over the last 5 years. Shoot, over the last year. What happens that way? If I could just get a little bit more fame, then I'd be happy. If I could just get recognized in my sport, if I could just get everybody in my office to think I'm the bomb, then it would all be great. But the desire for the carrot is dangerous. And the joy that it promises when you get it is fleeting. Comedian Jim Carrey put it this way. I love this quote. He says, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they could see that it's not the answer." There's a guy who's arguably one of the most successful comedians of the last 25 years. They don't get much funnier than Jim. They don't get much more successful. And he's saying, you know what? I wish everybody could get rich and famous like that and get all the money that they ever dreamed of. Do it all so that they could actually see that at the end of the day, it's not the answer. John the Baptist said this of Jesus in John 3, verse 30. He said, "He must become greater and greater. I must become less and less." Now, interestingly, John the Baptist in his day was a little insta-famous. He kind of popped up that way, okay? When folks came to him, because he was doing all this kind of stuff that had some notoriety to it, and they tried to put him on a pedestal of fame and glory, he said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus is the one that needs to become greater and greater. I need to become less and less." That's a godly mentality. That's the opposite of how Satan himself sees fame and glory. There's a depiction in the book of Isaiah of what Satan did to chase glory and chase honor. It actually got Satan kicked out of heaven. This is what happened. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning." That's a description or a name of Satan in the Bible. O shining star, son of the morning. It says, "You have been thrown down to earth, you who destroy the nations of the world." Look at this. "For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods and I will be like the Most High." Me. I'm going to get the fame and glory. I'm going to go up and ascend to heaven. I'm going to set my throne above everybody else. I will be in charge. I will be like God. Nobody's going to be bigger and badder and more famous than me. Everyone's going to like me. And chasing that carrot of fame and glory, it's as destructive today as it's ever been. And so I want to actually give you some questions. There's some questions of motive that I want to pose to you today to get kind of honest with yourself about where you're at. The pursuit of fame and glory in your own life. Whether it's a massive, big fame and glory chase or whether you've got some micro cravings that are in there. But what's the motivation of your heart? And here's the first question I want to ask you. Who are you representing? Who are you representing? If you were to get like kind of dead level honest with yourself here today, who would you say your life is representing? Now, I would like to think that as a follower of Christ, my answer should be that I'm representing Jesus in my world. I just have to get honest and authentic and say that there are a lot of times, though, when that's actually not who I'm really representing. What I'm really representing is me. How do you like me? You like me? You like me? How about the jacket? You like the seersucker? No? Should I take it off? You like the hair? Or lack thereof? Do you like me? Do you like me? I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm alone. I think we have this little conversation with ourselves most mornings when we look in the mirror. Are they going to like me? Is this going to be attractive? Are they going to think I'm great? Who are you representing? Because a great way of determining the answer to that question is to honestly admit, who would get the glory right now if I were to get famous for that? Who would get the glory if I were to get famous for that? Who are you representing? Here's how the Apostle Paul encourages us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so now we are representatives of the Anointed One. We're representatives of the liberating King. We're representatives of Jesus Himself. He says, God has given us a charge to carry through our lives. Here's the charge. Urging all people on behalf of the Anointed One, Jesus, to become reconciled to the Creator God. That He's actually given us one charge, and that's to tell people about the relationship that has now been made possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It's incredibly good news for you. You've been called to represent Jesus everywhere that you go. Not to us, but to His name be the glory. Who are you representing? Where does the glory in your life go when you get that? Here's the second question. Whose approval matters the most? Whose approval matters the most? Now, we're all in church, and we know what the right answer is to any question that gets posed. Whose approval matters the most? Well, Jesus. We're in church, right? It's Jesus. That's always the right answer when you're in church. It's Jesus. I could stand up here and say, like, hey, what's brown and furry, got a bushy tail, climbs up trees, eats nuts? And you'd be like, I think it's a squirrel, but we're in church. I think the right answer is Jesus. Right? And what I'm saying is, whose approval actually matters the most? Because we're trying to fit in. I think that's true across the board. Get honest with yourself. You trying to fit in? What conversations do you get sucked into? And you know you shouldn't be having that conversation. I'm just in. What kind of ways do you entertain yourself? You probably shouldn't be doing it, but you just get sucked in. We seek the approval of other people rather than the approval of God. We're chasing the carrot. And so suddenly, instead of living from the approval of God, we live for the approval of other people. Why do we do this? Why do I stop living from the approval of God and I start living for the approval of other people? Why is it that so many of us crave fame and glory? And it just kind of got me thinking this week, why is that so? And what was fascinating was that as I researched this topic, I found that there's actually a ton of psychological research out there, scientific studies that show that the pursuit of more fame and more glory for ourselves is actually rooted psychologically in injury and pain. Our pursuit of more fame and more glory is honestly often rooted in places where we have felt neglected, where we have been abandoned. In other words, if you find yourself with this craving for more and more acknowledgement, chances are at some point you have felt the injury of feeling insignificant. Chances are high that your parents were impossible to please, or that you were rejected by friends, or that you were overlooked or underappreciated in your life somewhere. So there's this longing in your soul and my soul to be noticed, to be known, to get a little bit of glory. There's this longing. We gotta want to go chase that carrot. The endless pursuit of more and more and more, because at some point we felt less. Okay? And you've suffered loss. Every single person in this room has suffered loss. Every single person in this room knows what it feels like to feel less than. Every single person in this room knows what it feels like to have the tank be empty. I'm not all up and to the right, just crushing my life all the time. You know what? I honestly kind of look sideways at people when I ask them, like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, crushing it. I'm always like, really? Really? Because everybody I know is struggling with something. We all got issues. And so we endlessly chase this broke down carrot thinking it's going to satisfy a need that we have, we've all got it, when the only thing that truly satisfies that need is Jesus. Now we've got it right. The answer is Jesus. It's not a brown, fluffy-tailed dude that climbs trees and eats nuts. Now we need Jesus. We need the thing that only satisfied. And so here's the powerful hope that I want to extend to you. Yes, you have been rejected, but he accepts you. Yes, you have been overlooked. He sees you. Yes, someone was impossible to please in your life. God says you're the apple of his eye. This is the big breakthrough for some of us when we even conjure to imagine what God must be like, because our picture of who God is actually a warped one. We think, man, I feel like I've been overlooked and God's paying no attention. I feel like I've been rejected and God's got his big demerit book up in the sky writing me detention slips as fast as he can because I keep screwing up. I feel like, yeah, there have been people that have been impossible to please. I could never please God. And even if he loves me, at the very least, he's got to be disappointed. And what we've missed is the real him. Our souls aren't ever satisfied fully until we begin actually living out the purpose that he has given to us so lovingly. It's Jesus first, not me first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, for we speak as messengers who are what? Approved by God. To be entrusted with the good news. He trusts you. He says, our purpose is to please God, not people. Would you underline that little phrase? He alone examines the motives of our heart. See, it's all about the motivation, the motive question. He says, as for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. Who are you representing? Really? Whose approval really matters? Because the encouragement of the scripture is I've got to decrease. He's got to increase. Less of me, more of him. Less attention to me, more glory to him. Less about my name, more about his name. Less about, oh, please follow me. And everything about, oh, go follow him. Because in the midst of this cultural climate that says, man, go for it. Be famous. Go after the likes. Go viral. Get people to follow you. I got to recognize that actually my desire for that, your desire for that, is rooted in an injury. It's rooted in a sin. It's rooted in a place that actually has been broken, and the only way to heal it is to have the healer come and fill it. The only way for me to experience that kind of deliverance from that place of striving and chasing is to have the deliverer come and set me free. And I got to remember that I was called to something bigger and better. Listen to me. You were called to something bigger, something better. Your purpose is to please God, not people. I want you to write down this last truth. Fame doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Fame doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Psalm 102, verse 12 says, but you, O Lord, will sit on your throne forever. Your fame will endure to every generation. Your fame will endure to every generation. This church was founded on a seminal principle. It is the idea that we want to make the love of God impossible to ignore. The love of God impossible to ignore. You know why that's an awesome pursuit? You know why that's a godly pursuit? Because his fame will endure to every generation. One of these days, I'll breathe my last. One of these days, they'll put a little headstone of Jesus Terry's with my name on it. The day I was born, a little dash in the year that I died. There will be a terminus to my name and to my notoriety. There will never be a terminus to his. Here's the incredible hope that we have. Is the little dash in between when I was born and when I died. I have a choice. Will that dash be spent to get everybody to focus temporarily on me for a quick second? Or will my dash point people toward the enduring, never-ending fame and glory of Jesus Christ? That's the choices that I get to make. The choice is set before you. Every single person in this room is living in the dash. Who are you representing? Who are you representing? And whose approval matters the most? It's not for my glory, it's for his. And so here's the great news that I want to encourage you to take into your Monday. Is that the invitation of Jesus is for you and me not to get all the glory for ourselves. The invitation is to live in his glory all the time. Don't go get your fleeting glory that keeps wearing off and is worth about as much as a 7-year-old playing with their toys on YouTube. You get to live in his glory. That's such a better exchange. You get to walk out these doors and into your Monday, not trying to chase the carrot and get it all to be about me, but to live in relationship with the glorious living one who says, I have approved of you. I see you. I want you close to me. Now let's go take on the world living in my glory. It's the best possible news for you. And some of us just need to make the decision. Says, you know what? Gotta be honest. I've kind of been living for my own esteem and for my own thing. And even if they're micro cravings, they've kind of like been owning my trash a little bit. And I'm going to set that stuff down and step into a new decision. The decision that says, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. And I'm going to let my little dash serve to increase the fame and honor and renown of the one whose fame will never end. That's my prayer for you this week. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, we come to you today and we admit that sometimes our priorities are whack. Sometimes we don't have our head screwed on straight, and we will pursue things to either out of our own need or just chasing what's next to really make it about us. And in that pursuit, we find such lack of joy and such lack of fulfillment. Here today in this moment, I pray that as folks around this room begin to consider how they're going to use the dash of their life, I pray that today would be the moment of decision that just says, I'm done with that other stuff. I'm choosing to represent Jesus in what I do. I'm choosing to pursue his approval only in what I do. And may my dash serve to amplify and glorify the King whose fame will never diminish nor die. And we commit ourselves to you, Lord, as we step into our Monday. Help us do that. Help us do that on the job. Help us do that in our families. Help us take that step with our friends, in the way that we entertain ourselves, in the conversations that we enter into. Help us be people who are representing you and are seeking 100% your approval and yours alone. And then help us walk in the goodness of your glory this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person, or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.